Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours.
Well, welcome to Spirit and Truth Sanctuary and to Metron today. We appreciate you being here. This is a special service, not only for Spirit and Truth, for Metron, but for me and for my cousin. We always enjoy sharing together. We have been called many names over the years. I'm Donnie Earl. His given name actually is Jimmy Earl. And so there's been very, very different evolutions of our names. It was Jim Earl at one time, then Bishop Jim Swilly. I was Donnie Earl, then Don, then D.E. But for the most of my life, especially being raised in the South, people just kind of put it together as Darnell. And my cousin has also gotten quite a bit of, not Jim Earl or Jim, but a lot of Jamal Swilly. And so whatever works for you, if it's Pastor Darnell and Bishop Jamal today, that's fine too. So I did want to say as an introduction, we're going to talk today about my grown-up Christmas list. And I haven't had a chance to listen to all of my cousin's sermons on this. He's in a series called My Grown-Up Christmas List, but I can assume and imagine that it's taken us to a little bit higher vibration than just the materialism of getting gifts and spending money and who got me something and do I have to get them something back. Brandon and I moved into a new house almost 2 years ago, and we have wonderful neighbors. They're so sweet, but several of them always kind of go all out to give us a Christmas gift. And when you pastor a church and you have a lot of friends, I'm just going to say it this way, you don't want to add more people to your Christmas list, amen? You're like, oh, Lord, let's just be good neighbors and say thank God for good neighbors. But they give, and so part of that vibration is, oh, no, somebody got me something. I have to get them something back. In that frame of reference, my mother one year was recycling a Christmas gift. I hope you don't mind this, Mother. Anybody ever recycled a Christmas gift? Come on here. Tell the truth and shame the devil today. And so she was given a photo album some years earlier, or I think the year earlier, by our former secretary, some of you remember Dottie Bridges, for many years was our secretary. My mother thought it was just a photo album, but it didn't have photos in it. It was just a gift, you know, as a photo album. But Dottie had put pictures of them over the years together and traveling and having fun and all that. And so Mom recycled that photo album back to Dottie. And still had all the pictures of them in it. And so she had to explain that she wasn't saying, I'm through with you, girl. I ain't using your photo album no more. But so we have to be cautious about that. But we're going to talk today about my grown-up Christmas list. And I want to say, before we get there, that it's so easy, it's so natural for my cousin and I to share this together. We texted this week, and if you remember, about 5 or 6 years ago, we shared 13 Sundays in a row together, and we would just kind of tag team preach, and it was very, very memorable for me and very powerful season in my life. And so we've done this together so well and so often that I texted him about Wednesday or Thursday and said, hey, what you got? Is there something, that a direction you have? And he said, I don't know, do you have anything? And I kept going, no, you do it. So he said, well, I've been talking about my grown-up Christmases. I said, that sounds like a plan. Let's go with that. So he texts me back, come on, man, geez. You know, like,
that's not what I said. I said, come on, Jesus. That's what I said.
Same thing. But the point of it was, it's never difficult for us to work together. It's always easy. And I give thanks for that, not only that we are cousins, but that we are of the same mind, we are on one accord, we are talking in the same vibration, we are in the same consciousness, amen? Many families can't say that, and if you've been to a family reunion recently, you know that your wavelength may not be your cousin's, amen? You may be in a little different space than some of the rest of your family. We take solace, Jamal and Darnell take solace, if we're crazy together. We're hearing the same message. We're hearing the same vibration from the universe. God is speaking the same revelation. And so that's certainly comforting to us today. I will give just a quick kind of intro to our sermon, to the sermon today, and then I'm going to introduce my cousin the right way. I want to say that I believe, in the context of my grown-up Christmas list, that we are reminded this season of the power of Christmas, the power of the birth or the coming of Jesus, and that is this. There's a phrase that we remember that's familiar to us that the angels said and even declared to the wise men or to the magi about the birth of Jesus, and that is this, that this is a sign and peace, watch this, his coming will be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Okay, that's something that's familiar to us. And so with the entrance of Jesus, it is a gift from God that it is a sign of peace. Not, watch this, not only our peace with God, but if there was ever any consciousness of God being mad at man, Scripture talks about God regretting creating man, the fall of all this that's recorded in biblical history. If there ever was a moment of us not being at peace with God, Jesus comes to make our peace. I'm at peace with God. God is at peace with me. God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. But the second part of that is goodwill toward men. So God is sending goodwill toward men. And then as our responsibility, or probably our privilege of being followers of the Christ man and the Christ mind, that we are not only at peace and at goodwill with God, but we should be creating goodwill with each other. Yes. Amen, somebody. And so, amen. Part of our grown-up Christmas list, other than just the things that we want, the material things that we do or don't want, is this. God, let my grown-up Christmas list include this. Let the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians and the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Sikhs, let us learn, watch this, to have goodwill between each other. Let us learn to be at peace with each other. Amen. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, we can't declare war in the name of Jesus. Talk to me, somebody. And so we read our Bible. Somebody else reads their holy book. It's not something that we should be at odds or at dis-ease about, but there is a moment where we say, the same God that you serve, I serve. We may call it a little bit different name, but in the name of Jesus the Christ, peace on earth and goodwill toward and between men. Can you say amen to that? That's my grown-up Christmas list today. I do want to introduce my cousin. He is a teacher, preacher, bishop, 16-time author, evolutionary and revolutionary, and he hails from Atlanta, Georgia. Amen, somebody. And the senior pastor of Metron, I'm glad to have my cousin in the house today. Will you welcome Bishop Jim Swilly?
What's up, Spirit of the Truth? Thank you. I just got these new boots and my pants keep sticking in the thing. So if my pants stick in the boots, will somebody please say, am I good now? Listen, first of all, I want to say happy birthday to my cousin. And I know that you already have, but all honor to you.
Thank you.
And the great work that you've done here. And Brandy, your song was beautiful this morning. Pastor D.E. acknowledged my parents, but I would like for them to stand up because I don't get to do this very often. Would you, Pastor Jimmy and Darlene Swilly, glad that they're here today. And again, I want to thank you for welcoming, thank you for saying my husband. I appreciate that you Absolutely. Unashamedly said that. And he's telling the truth about the family's choice. LaDonna told me a while back, she said, I just want to tell you, if something ever happens with you and Ken, we're keeping him. I said, thanks for having my back. I appreciate that. But anyway, I think one time I was here, and maybe he was on call, wasn't able to be with me, so I'm glad that he's here. And his father just transitioned a few weeks ago, and so that was my father-in-law. And it was, everything that a family goes through, that's what we went through, and thank you for your prayers. I know I'm friends with a lot of you on Facebook. And I got to tell you, beautiful Metron people, thank you so much for being here today.
Wow, yeah.
I really, really appreciate it. And all of my peoples, some of you that I've known for many years, some of you I just know your face, but thank you so much for being here. The song that he referred to, and it was interesting, Benny's beautiful song that he just sang, I asked him, I said, who wrote that? And it's actually the same
composer, David Foster, that wrote that song and this one. Because I was thinking about how much the lyrics to his song really are in line with what mm-hmm. what we've been talking about at Metron this month. I'm sure you're familiar with the song My Grown-Up Christmas List. Mm-hmm. I think Natalie Cole originally recorded it, and I think Kelly Clarkson's recorded it. It's a beautiful song. I'm not going to sing it, but it's the point of it is it's I hear it from a female perspective because I've only heard women sing it. But she says, it starts as a letter to Santa, and she says, do you remember me? I sat upon your knee, and you know, my apps are in front of it. Wait, hang on. That's not the lyric. My apps are in front of it. Let me go here. Talk amongst yourselves. There we are. I sat upon your knee. I wrote to you with childhood fantasies. Well, I'm all grown up now, but still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown-up Christmas list, not for myself, but for a world in need. And I'm not going to read all of it, but here's the chorus of it, and this is the intention. It's no more lives torn apart, then wars would never start, and time would heal all hearts, and everyone would have a friend, and right would always win, and love would never end. This is my grown-up Christmas list. And it's a very powerful concept of saying, I believe in what we used to call faith. Now I usually call power of intention. It's really the same thing, right? Because I'm a bridge builder. When I hear some of these guys that easily get labeled New Age or that sort of thing, I've learned a lot from Dr. Ralph Martin, who's here as a sage, and I appreciated his stance on being called New Age. He says, I wear it as a badge of honor. So that's not, I don't hide from that label. And when I hear someone talk about something that sounds a little bit different from what I heard in my traditional Christian upbringing, I automatically want to connect the dots. I want to build a bridge. Mm-hmm. Something in me says, oh, that's like, you're saying paradigm shift, but that's what we used to call repentance. It's mm-hmm. the same thing.
Right.
Some of those newer words have less baggage for me personally. And they help me understand concepts. And so the idea of the power of intention is I'm not just putting a wish out there for myself, because that certainly has its place, but also I want to take it next level, and I want to have an ideal for the entire world.
Yes.
Listen, Christmas is a holy thing, and can I just say, there's no war on Christmas. No, nobody ever told you not to say Merry Christmas. That's a bogus idea. Even if somebody says Happy Holidays, not only are they acknowledging everything from Kwanzaa to Hanukkah to Happy New Year to, I think, all together with all the religions, there's 30 or 40 different holy days during the month of December. And the word holiday itself comes from the phrase holy day.
Holy
so even
days.
If you're saying Happy Holidays, you're not being Antichrist.
Teach it.
A couple of years ago, I was in Starbucks reading some Christian's post about how Starbucks has banned the name of Jesus, and you can't say the name of Jesus in there. And as I'm reading it, they're playing the Alleluia chorus in Starbucks. I'm like, I love you Christians, but y'all are kind of idiots, so just stop it. Anyway, the idea is that once a year, and I think we talked about this last year when I was here, when people say Jesus is the reason for the season. No, he's not. Saturnia and all of the winter solstice, these things were, and I'm sure Pastor D.E.'s talked about these pagan festivals were celebrated winter on December 25th, mm-hmm. centuries before Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Right.
That's why every Christmas, we don't just sing about Jesus and Santa Claus, we also sing It's a Marshmallow World, We're in a Wonderland, let it snow, all these songs about winter, because it actually initially was the celebration for winter, or the winter solstice. Jesus was actually born somewhere around the first week of April, but the Catholic Church took all of the pagan holidays and they Christianized the vernal equinox and made that into Easter, and all these things were, Jesus just was a part of the reason for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that. Y'all went, don't you take my Jesus away. Look, I love Jesus. I've been working for him my whole life. Jesus and me are real good. And Jesus told me to tell y'all the truth. Because I don't know who your Jesus is, but my Jesus is really, really strong and powerful, and he's not easily intimidated. And I was telling Metron last week, this is why I don't believe he wants to send the majority of people to hell.
Right.
Because I believe if you really think there was an atonement, if you believe something literally happened on that cross, then you have to believe that he committed to it. When he said, now the God of this world is cast down, he really meant it. When he said, if I'm lifted up, I'll eventually draw everybody to myself. The Greek word actually says, I'll drag him if need be. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want a Jesus that dies on the cross and then he's mad at everybody who rejected it. Mm-hmm. Like, I died on the cross and you didn't even pay attention to us. I'm going to burn you in hell for eternity. No, I can tell you, if I were Jesus, I'd be like, look, you see these nail prints in this hand?
Right.
Oh, you're not, you think you're going to hell? Oh, hell no, you're not going to hell. And when Jesus said, it is finished,
come on, it is.
He said, it is finished. It is antichrist to believe that he himself doesn't believe in his own
right.
work.
Come on.
Now, having said this, and tap me out anytime you want to get in.
I like it.
Pastor D.E. just mentioned a minute ago about the cross and about the atonement and about the fall of man. Let me tell you some revelation I've been walking in this year. And even as recently as yesterday, Spirit just dropped this into my heart. The lyric from the song, O Holy Night, which for many of us is a favorite Christmas carol. Different lyrics will sort of stand out to me and they'll have a particular glory on them. Last week it was from Silver Bells. I was talking about how you visualize things, and I was reading a lyric from the second verse where it says, strings of street lights, even stoplights, blinking bright red and green as the shoppers rush home with their treasures. I said, that's a powerful paradigm shift, because this is somebody who's seeing the glass so half full that even when a stoplight is on, they see it as Christmas, and they're not griping about the traffic. They're saying the shoppers rush home with their treasures. That sounds very different from the stuff I see the people post on Facebook. My God, I can't believe how many people are out at this mall. You get what you see, and what you see, and you say it, you see it. It just keeps this constant cycle going on. But anyway, yesterday I was thinking about this lyric. It says, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Now listen. Mm-hmm. Till he appeared. And everybody felt really horrible about all their sin and felt really less than. What does it say? Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Come on.
Now, anybody that preaches anything to you, I don't care how big the Bible is that they hold in their hand. If it doesn't make your soul feel its worth, you have not heard the gospel.
Come on.
You have heard somebody ranting and raving and quoting a lot of scripture. Mm-hmm. But if you walked out of that church feeling less than, you didn't hear good news.
Come on. Come
when
on.
You look at the word gospel, when you look it up in the Greek lexicon, there's no esoteric nuanced meaning. Mm-hmm. It just says good news,
come on,
period.
Come on.
There's no shade of meaning. And so I've given this a lot of thought, because I know we're in an evolution where we love Jesus, and we love the cross, and we want it to make sense. But I remember even Bishop Pearson saying years ago, he said, I just don't believe God was that mad at humanity. Mm-hmm. And so what we have learned, and I think it's bled into our low self-esteem as Christians, we've been taught, basically, God can't stomach you. But somehow, through the blood of Jesus, he's going to be able to handle you. And that's the only, you might get into heaven, but it's only by the blood. And I respect the blood. I respect the atonement. I love what Jesus did on the cross. I want it to make sense in my current consciousness.
Right.
I don't believe that God ever changed his mind about his creation. Let me tell you why. I have four children. I was in the room when each of them was born. I already loved them before they were born.
Yep.
I was already proud of them before they were born. They didn't have to do anything to make me love them. I haven't always approved of everything they've done. But they were always in. They were always mine. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to grow on me. I didn't have to look at some shivering little wrinkled thing that's covered with placenta saying, I know I don't look like much, but if you could just see me through the blood, one of these days I'll be your son. No, he was already my son. Come she on. Was already my daughter.
Come on.
So then, what was the fall of man? I'm glad you asked that. In the Genesis narrative, and it's immaterial to me whether you take it literally or not. The fact is, and I can see this is one of the few churches I can say this in. Yeah. Of course the earth is millions of years old, possibly billions of years old. Of course when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, he wasn't there. He was just saying this is how I visualized it. And he gave us this wonderful idea that begins with let there be light. That resonates with me. I'm like, you better go, Mo. That's good. I like that. So in what we call Genesis chapter 2, you know, the Bible originally wasn't written in chapter and verses. There was a French monk who put those in many centuries later after Jesus. But anyway, what we call Genesis chapter 2 is when God says to Adam, and I think I've even ministered on this before, he says, he brings the animals to Adam to see what he would call them. Mm-hmm. And whatever Adam called them is what God called them.
Yes.
All right? Now you could say, well, that's just naming a zebra and a kangaroo. No. What he's doing is he's saying, let's make people in our image and let them have dominion. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, whatever you call the earth is what I'll call it. If you say that's a zebra, then I'll say it's a zebra. So that's the authority he has given Adam. All right. Go to chapter 3. Adam and Eve go and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Were there literally two trees? It doesn't matter to me whether it was literal. They are two different realities that you decide.
Yes.
You decide which one you're going to live in. You either live through the paradigm of the tree of life, or you live through the paradigm of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Adam and Eve eat of the tree that they weren't supposed to. Has that ever made you wonder, like, why was God so ticked off about them eating a piece of fruit? That was it. Mm-hmm. You know, in this day and age, you gotta do something really awful for people to even notice it. There's so much sexual harassment going on now among public figures. I'm jaded with it. I'm like, who's next? I know. I think if you're a man, you've harassed women sexually, you might as well just hold a big press conference and say, here's a list. Because apparently it's coming out about me anyway, and I'm gonna go ahead and let that other shoe drop. So that's the world we're living in. And then you think, the whole thing was about eating a piece of fruit. No, it wasn't about eating a piece of fruit. It was about Adam changing his perception.
Yes.
So Adam eats it, and suddenly he has this idea that he's naked. Suddenly he feels differently about himself. So God, the all-knowing God who knows what Adam and Eve have done, he comes to find him in the garden just like he always did. He doesn't say, fallen Adam, where are you? He doesn't say, sinful Adam, where are you? He says, Adam,
where are you?
Well, Adam's out there creating religion because he and Eve are scrounging around trying to find some fig leaves to sew together.
Cover it up.
So finally Adam comes out and he says, I hid from you because I was naked and I was afraid. Mm-hmm. And God says to him, who told you you were naked? He doesn't say, you sure are naked. No.
Who told you? Come on.
He said, who told you that? So because I have given you authority to name something and I have to call it that.
Come on here.
If you said that's a zebra, I said it's a zebra. If you said that's a kangaroo, I say it's a kangaroo. If you say I'm naked and afraid and fallen,
come on.
Oh, that's not how I see you. But if that's what you say you are, then that's who I'll have to say you are.
Yes,
which is why... In 1 John, he says, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Mm-hmm. What gives us confidence before God? Because we believe we're right with God.
Right.
So, it doesn't mean that the cross didn't mean anything. It was real, but it's because of man's paradigm.
The mind.
Hear me, stay with me. God didn't need it.
We needed it. We spoke the language.
Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Paul said it's the goodness of the Lord that brings people to repentance. Mm-hmm. Just tell them, some people say, well, they don't preach against sin in that church enough. Let me tell you from a long line of preachers, preaching about it, not preaching about it, doesn't change anything. Everybody's doing whatever they're doing. Some people are just a little more quiet about it. But until something in you makes you feel your worth, you don't understand. And that's what my grown-up Christmas list is about, is could we at this time of the year take a moment and believe that everybody is valuable? Yes. Everybody's invited to the table.
Yes.
Nobody's more than, nobody's less than. Mm-hmm. That's what Christmas is all about, and that's my grown-up Christmas list.
Tag it on. Wow. We say it, Spirit and Truth. Spirit and Truth, did you just hear the garden right there? Did you hear it? Amen. It's not about the trees. The trees were symbolic of consciousness. What consciousness are you going to eat? As you were talking, he said, when God came to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? Watch this. Adam's already eaten of the tree, of the consciousness, but Adam is still in the garden.
Yeah.
Anybody, you ever notice that? He didn't eat of the fruit and automatically he's out of the garden.
Yes.
God came to see what is your understanding of what you've done.
Yes.
In other words, God didn't put Adam out of the garden. Adam put Adam out of the garden by what he said. As a man thinks in his heart, come on, life and death are in the power of what?
The tongue.
Adam, I'm still going to relate with you as if you're in the garden. But when you say it, then I will honor what you are saying. That's good news. I was going to say this when you were talking about the power of the blood, is that the good news is that the bad news was wrong.
Yeah.
Jesus is more powerful than we ever thought. Can I say it this way? If all men died in Adam, then all men live in Jesus. All men live in Christ. And the crazy thing about that idea, we've talked about this at length before, is that what people call heresy is us just saying Jesus is as powerful as Adam. All we've said is Jesus is as powerful as Adam. We haven't even said Jesus is higher, stronger. Let's magnify the name of Jesus. I don't know about you. I never confessed Adam as my Lord and Savior. I never came to an altar and said, I am of Adam. It was an imputed work of death that I had nothing to do with. Okay? But watch this. But we have to add something to the work of Jesus because it's less powerful. I've got to have faith and believe and say a prayer and do all this stuff. No, I don't. Watch this. My prayer of faith is just waking me up to what Jesus already did. It doesn't change anything but my mind and how I perceive it. One part, I'm loving this, by the way. One part of what I was thinking about with my grown-up Christmas list, talking about peace on earth and goodwill toward men and between men, is actually part of the story of Jesus being born and the prophetic utterances around it. The angel said to the parents, he said, it'll be a sign from God, call his name Jesus, for he will be the Savior of his people. Okay, and we know that Jesus is basically translated as Joshua. Joshua, Jesus becomes the Savior of his people, and we see that he starts acting in that nature. Jesus is Son of Man and Son of God. That's the mystery of who Jesus is. And so when Jesus is encountering people from different cultures, or what we call Gentiles, he is not quite as open as he should have been. Why? Because the angel said, call him Jesus, the Savior of his people. Come on. And so when the woman comes with her daughter, and he says, look, I can't help you. I only came for my people. I didn't come to help people, only the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she says, oh, Jesus, but please help. And he says, look, it's not good to give the holy bread or the children's bread to our dogs. Amen, somebody. That's Jesus. And y'all are going to be all right with me saying that. That's in the word. Amen. But why is Jesus acting so culturally? Why is he acting so exclusive? I only came for Jews or the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Because they called him Jesus. They called him Joshua. You are the Savior of your people. But I came to tell somebody that he didn't stay Jesus forever.
That's right.
He graduated into a higher consciousness. The angel said, call him Jesus. Watch this. But the prophet said, call him Emmanuel, God with us, in us, and through us. It was not Jesus who talked to the woman at the well in John 4. That was Emmanuel talking to the woman at the well. That's why he said Jesus, watch this, was only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Emmanuel says, I must go through Samaria. I must reach out. I have sheep of other pastures that you don't even know about. Why? Because I'm no longer just Jesus. I have now become Emmanuel, God with us. That's good news to me. That is my grown-up Christmas list that we at Spirit and Truth, at Metron, as we are waking up, that we will be a beginning of a model of other open-minded Christians opening up to understand it's not our job to convert the world to Jesus. It's our job to convince the world that Emmanuel, God with us, came to bring peace, and that same spirit that was working in Jesus that we call the Christ, that Buddhists call Dharma, that Hindus call Krishna, is now working in, through, and as me. If you've seen me, you've seen God. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so part of my grown-up Christmas list is to understand that God, although called by many different names, is one. There is only one God. If we could get that vibration into the airwaves for our not just our Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, and Sikh brothers and sisters to understand that, but watch this, in Jerusalem first, if we could get our Christian brothers and sisters to understand that there's only one God, there's only one source, there's only one beginning, there's only, watch this, one nature, although those many names. We talked last week, Jesus is the person, Christ is the presence. I was with a friend of mine. He's older, he's in his 80s now, but he's from Mumbai, India. And he was talking to me about being raised as a Hindu and a lot of Christian missionaries going to India to try to get the Hindus saved or converted to Christianity. And he said the missionaries became very frustrated because they would give these long sermons and talk about the cross and the blood and all this and talk about Jesus, and the Hindus were not converting to Christianity. And he said the thing that they don't know is that Christ has always been in India. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, what you call the Christ, we call Krishna. But it's the same spirit working in all of it. Before I knew it, I was laid out on his driveway like, oh, Lord, I'm going to church with this little Indian man that looks like Gandhi. So my grown-up Christmas list is not only that we would celebrate Jesus in a manger, whether it's December 25th, winter solstice, whether it's in April or whenever you think that is, okay, that the reason for the season is not just Jesus, but that God's saying, I'm at peace with you, be at peace with me. Make your peace with me. Don't live in guilt, don't live in shame, don't live in competition. Jesus said it this way to the religious order. He said, you travel all the world trying to make one convert, and when you convert them, they become twice as much a son of the devil as you are. Amen. In other words, he's saying, it's not about converting the world. I didn't come to start a religion. I came to reconnect you to God in consciousness. Amen to that? Amen. I'm going to tag.
You mentioned about his name. John in his revelation says, when I saw him, he had a name written on his thigh and on his vesture. It was called Faithful and True. Mm-hmm. And his name was called the Word of God, and he had a name written on himself that nobody knew but he himself. Now, in Matthew's gospel, I think we talked about this last year when I was here, the Magi, the three wise men, did not know the scriptures. They were magicians. That's where we get the word magic from, Magi. They were not astronomers. They were astrologers that charted the zodiac. They knew that Israel was going to have a king because they understood how the stars spoke. And they practiced divination. They were probably of the religion Zoroastrianism. Now, when they come to Herod, and I was just thinking about this when you were talking about his name was Jesus / Joshua. When you call him that, he becomes that. They come to Herod and they say, where is he who was born what? The king of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east,
And we have tried to, we have come to convert him to Zoroastrianism. Mm. Is that what they said?
No. Come to worship.
Mm-hmm. Where is he who's born the King of the Jews? We've seen the star in the east. We're not converting to Judaism. Mm-hmm. We're not going to become Christians. Mm-hmm. We've seen the star in the east. We've come to worship him.
Right.
Herod didn't even know where the scripture said he was going to be born. They had to find a scripturian to come forward and say, did anybody ever say where they thought the Messiah would be born? And some guy says, yeah, supposedly Micah, the prophet, who you're named after, said he would be born in Bethlehem. So that's why they went to Bethlehem. And it says when they saw him, they worshiped him. And became Christians and started teaching Sunday school. Is that what it says? It says they came and worshiped him.
Right, right.
They paid their respects to the King of the Jews. They understood who he was much more than the people who were walking around Bethlehem.
Right.
That's why if God's really speaking through you or moving through you, and I love it, what is your motto this year, God in me, through me, as me? That's the message of Emmanuel. If people don't see it, it doesn't matter. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Prophecy was fulfilled and people walking 10 feet away had no idea. That's why the people who are looking for the second coming to be an event, that's why they're just going to keep looking for it. And it's because it's not an event. We're the second coming of Christ.
Yes.
And the reason it's no man knows the day and the hour is because the day star arises in our heart at different times. It's right. when I have that revelation or that epiphany, it may not be the same as yours, but I can be patient with you because you eventually will see his star in the east,
right,
and you will worship him. And the good news is at the end of the of whatever we call time, when we say every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, you can say it to those
right.
three wise men and they'll go, yeah, we already did that. We believe that. See, we've got it mixed up. We think worshiping means you've got to come to my church. You've got to believe what I believe. You've got to sing what I sing. You've got to be my color. You've got to be my sexual orientation. You've got to be exactly. You can't just be like Christ. You've got to be like me, like Christ.
Yes. Woo. Come on.
But I'll end with this. The message of Christmas, and then you can take it. You can take us home, is the most universalist message there is.
Yes.
Because this angel doesn't come to theologians. Matthew tells us about the Magi. Luke tells us about the shepherds. Mm-hmm. And these shepherds who represent the common man, they're not scriptorians. I dare say there's not one of those shepherds that knew biblical or scriptural prophecy. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what shepherds were. They were the counterpart to what we have now, what we call blue-collar workers. They were like cops and firemen and washing machine repairmen. They were like garbage men. They were like the people that do all the work that we couldn't function without. Mm-hmm. And so the angel comes to them. The angel doesn't come in the temple. The angel comes to the common man and says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to American Christians who pray a sinner's prayer at the end of a service and get saved. No.
Amen.
It says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Mm. He says, I came to bring you good news. Isn't it interesting? And I remember Dr. Lovelace used to talk about this a lot. On the day of Pentecost, when their words were interpreted, what did they say? Do not we hear them speaking the wonderful works of God? Mm-hmm. Nobody's telling anybody they're going to hell. Nobody's right. telling them stop smoking. None of that's in there. It's just the wonderful works of God. That's yes. the message of the gospel. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all
Amen.
People.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you ought to enjoy Christmas. Look, Christmas means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Like I said, our family's been touched by
what we interpret as death, I don't really see it as death. I see it as you use this body as long as you can, mm-hmm. and when you don't need it anymore, you lay it down and go to the next dimension. That's right. all that is. If you want right. to call that death, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But it changes the dynamic of Christmas. Of course it does. Joanna, was it your father passed on Christmas Day, wasn't it? How many years ago? 5 years ago? 6 years ago? So I'm sure there's not a Christmas that comes that you don't think of that. It's a human emotion to respond to that and to miss the person. However, you're supposed to enjoy Christmas.
Yes.
And you're supposed to celebrate it. And I don't care if you have a turkey or a goose or a can of Spam. Whatever you got, you make it as festive as you possibly can, because, you know, in the musical Mame, the song was "We Need a Little Christmas Right This Very Minute." If you know the story, Mame had just gotten fired from Macy's and was freaking out, and she comes home and makes everybody decorate for Christmas early. There's a real gospel message to that. I'm glad that it's starting earlier every year. It seems like Christmas starts at Halloween now. But I'm glad that we have this season where everybody has to just stop and express these ideals, mm-hmm. like Benny was singing about in his song, or my grown-up Christmas list. Yeah, I watch the news. I know what's going on. I'm fully aware of all of it. But Christmas is a time we just say, Benny, where are you? What was the lyric of that song? There's a line that says, when we believe what could be, or something, mm-hmm. there's something like that. There's two lines in it. Tonight's the night that it's along those lines. We mm-hmm. see what could, we believe for the impossible. Don't ever become, we get so caught up in it. Yeah, for night we pray for what we know can be.
Yes.
Don't ever become so cynical. I bind the spirit of Scrooge. I cast that bah humbug out of you. Oh, thou spirit of bah humbug. That's deliverance talk for those of you that didn't come from my background.
Come out.
I told Eddie over here, he was posting something on Facebook the other day about losing weight, and the opening line was, I bind you, fat spirit of Satan. I laughed at that all day long, and it's my new mantra now. When I look in the mirror, I go, I bind you, fat spirit of Satan. Anyway, no, I don't say that. I go, the soul feels its worth. You look old, about to turn 60. I'm still rocking it.
And
this is what 60 is supposed to look like. Come on. Anyway, whether it's the Grinch realizing that Whoville is still going to have Christmas even without the presents, or whether it's Charlie Brown realizing that his Christmas tree was all right after all, or whether it's Ebenezer Scrooge making peace with Christmas, with his past, present, and future, whether it's George Bailey realizing he actually did have a wonderful life after all, whatever it is, if it's just, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
Yes.
You better get a hold of that and celebrate it and make it as much as it can, because we need it. We need it now more than ever. That's my grown-up Christmas.
Wow. Come on, let's all stand if you will.